from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. It's a Monday work day, baby. We are here after what hopefully was a fantastic Father's Day weekend for our men listeners. Hopefully you were spoiled, you were taken care of, and that you got to do what you wanted to do. That's most important. As John was saying, you weren't dressed up and taken out and paraded about if you didn't want to be. Now, if you wanted to be out and about, you know, and I know a lot of people do, well, that's good for you. But a lot of us just wanted to be around the house. I know I appreciated my wife for allowing me to do that. Happy Father's Day again to you gentlemen. We've got a game 5 tonight. How about that? Dallas made sure of that on Friday night, extending this series, and for now, the Fade Brad segment. We get to do at least one more.
That's right.
We'll see if Boston wants to shut it down tonight, but they were thinking about us here in Memphis and extending what's been one of the best segments.
Yeah, so what's interesting about sort of the game tonight is that Brad could be wrong, and it could still be the final Fade Brad of the season.
It's true.
So, you know, that's the thing. It's a bigger number. Therefore, you know, it could be the end regardless, right? So
it could be.
We'll get into that a little bit later in the show, as always. That's going to happen around, I don't know, 12:50-ish.
12:45, 12:50-ish, yeah, with the time.
And we like to kind of, you know, let Brad really marinate on it. Give him an hour and a half to really think about it.
Where he hits that game cast.
What, he hit the old 0-2?
Yes.
Yeah, the bonus picks.
Always feel a little better when you come in here off of a Brad L.
That's right. Yes.
His bonuses continue to lose at a fantastic rate.
Those are the extra
3-9
ones. Now. Those are the extra. Like he had, like,
pretty sure it's 3-9.
He came with the over Drew Holiday the day after he had 26. And then he came with the over Jaylen Brown because he was the favorite.
My head 10.
To win the MVP.
And stanky. You've been stanky with it on those bonus picks, and we appreciate it.
Yeah, so I'm expecting like an over Luca today, you know. That's the thing,
no,
right?
No, that's good. I don't know if they're as integrity as the, you know, picks versus the spread of them.
Yeah. It'll be a Boston version of the bonus pick today. It'll be a Boston player.
We've yet to get an under other than the Porzingis on the first game of the injury.
Yeah. Right, yep.
Everything else has been over in a series that has not gone over the point total one time.
Very bad.
Interesting. So we'll get into that a little bit later in the show. Respect Burgers at 1 o'clock. Jason's going to cook those up on the Big Green
Oreo
Egg.
Oreo mix today.
Yes. Angel Reese.
She will not be getting one. John, he was talking about her coming down the hall. Now, I'm not sure if that's just because I've got this orange Nike hoodie on that reminds him.
It is. It's
of
like a
WNBA
red
hoodie. Right. He reminds me of it every time. But she will not be getting one today. I'm sure she expected that. She said folks like you will have watched that replay 20 times.
20 times.
By Monday at 11 o'clock. That's what she said. She was talking to you.
No, I've seen it maybe like twice, three times.
Tell the truth. You can't stand her.
No, I have no problem with Angel Reese. I think she kind of leans into the, you know, or she should lean into being the villain. I don't think she's necessarily as witting as she likes to lead on with that. And she also,
that's
you know,
an interesting take.
She also needs to work on the layups because she.
Well, she's getting fouled.
Well, that's what they say. That's what people say.
Her and Camilla.
Yeah, it's such a you know. Remember, the WNBA is such a physical league.
That she has been taken down this season,
but people
not in that game necessarily.
It's time to strip away the BS. But it ain't physical.
She is BSing some after these games and these press conferences.
Yeah,
that's where I'm with you.
Don't confuse lack of skill with physicality. That's a cop-out. There's not enough skill with the bigs in the WNBA. That's just the fact.
The truth is, we have never talked so much WNBA in our sports lives.
I mean, I'm serious. If you want to watch professional basketball players smoke layups, that is your league.
Come on, man.
It is. It's your league. And some of these women are 6'5". Like, how you smoking layups? Everybody's like, Angel Reese with another double-double. Yeah, but 8 of the rebounds are off her own damn misses. I mean, she's down there stat padding.
Sound like you had Chicago and the points.
I did not.
Yeah, that's what you sound like.
I don't bet on WNBA right now.
Don't it, Brad? I mean, I hear real emotion in this. Usually it's
connected. No, it's like we just got to be real about it. It's like
an investment
loss. Double-double for Angel. Okay, yeah, she shot 30% from the floor and was a -4 on the game.
See if you had jumped on that WNBA train.
I just feel like there's...
Since things drying up a little bit this summer.
Yeah, a lot of the WNBA media are new to being media. And it kind of shows.
Like, yeah,
they covered the sport.
Tribune we said was acting up.
Yes, exactly.
The column about this is silly.
Like, do you think like again?
They're going after Caitlin.
Like, okay, again, I'm just going to say this: if Al Horford tonight has a double double, but he shoots 30% from the field and he is a -4 for the Celtics, our Celtics Twitter account is going to say, "Ooh, another double double for Al Horford." No, like the guy's got sucked. And his team lost, right? Mm. I mean, in this scenario, Angel Reese's team lost. She shot 30% from the field.
Right.
We don't celebrate double-doubles, right? This is a very individual stat. Your team lost, and you didn't shoot well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, this is part of the growth of the game. You know, we're almost like, you know, we're almost like celebrating this like it's CJ out there, and, you know, somebody has a double-double, and it doesn't matter what the score is. It does. It matters. You're a professional basketball player. So that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I just don't have that much heat for
her. I got heat.
She's a rookie putting up double doubles.
I got heat.
She's been brought down a peg just like Caitlin has, and they all had something to learn.
I don't know if you saw Caitlin's stat line. They're 5-3 against teams not named the Liberty or the Connecticut Sun.
She's saved her coach for now. I'll tell you that.
That's right.
With how they're playing.
Well, and she gonna
credit to her.
And she gonna continue to do that.
Some of us didn't freak out. We said there'd be an adjustment for her, and that she'd slowly get comfortable.
Slowly.
And she has.
Maybe quicker than some even imagine.
Credit them, because they played a lot of games. They took a lot of heat early, and they're coming around now.
But no, listen, there's a lot of opportunity.
We got work to do in Chicago.
For Angel to continue to get better.
I'm probably about done.
Yeah. Angel to get better. So
with WNBA.
We're going to work
on that. For the day. Every time you look up, it's on, or it's one of the top stories on ESPN. I can't believe it.
Right.
It's almost like they're forcing.
No, it's being forced.
But then Angel gave us another angle with her press conference. Again, even if it's just a hard hit on her,
we're not talking
about it as much, but then Angel gives you the more content with, you know, there's a special whistle.
No, it's definitely true.
That was obviously a flagrant foul.
I mean,
anyway.
Yeah, it is.
And we get caught up more in talking about how people are talking about it.
Correct.
Than we do what's actually happening on the court. We have done that now a couple of weeks in a row.
Absolutely.
Where we're fed up or whatever.
Well, I think the coverage is bad.
The Chicago Tribune's writing something. We're spending more time talking about the way it's being covered than we are what's actually happening on the court.
And the day that that stops is the day that truly...
Well, it'll be nice.
You know, the WNBA, I think, can become what people hope it can become.
Some of us need to act right.
Because we have never, I feel like at any point, ever talked about
media.
Basketball piece of this. It's always been about the sociological... You know, how can we change the world with,
Just calm down, man.
I'm good, bro. But I'm good. Okay. Believe me.
All right. I mean, he's going to come in here on one about Angel on this Monday.
I'm not on one about Angel's foul. I'm on one about Angel's performance on the court. Like, we got to stop celebrating this, acting like she's out there like Kareem.
I thought you were going to be, up criticizing her for the comments. I didn't know you were going to be criticizing her for her double-double, but she shot 30%. Can you believe it?
She needs to do some of those.
She's celebrating this.
She needs to do some of those Mike hand drills, bro. Go do some George Mike hand drills. That's what she needs to go do. Go work on that.
Both sides. Yeah. I had a little CJ doing that the other day.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
why do you say Mike hand? Like, George Mike hand. It's Mike hand.
Okay, I don't know. I mean, rest in peace.
You know, I'm gonna stop it.
Yeah, is that whatever?
Last week, every time I made a mistake,
Mikan, I thought it was Mikan.
Okay. Mikan.
That's what
George
I thought it was.
Mikan.
I thought that's how you pronounced it, bro. I mean, he played in the third.
Come on, man.
I mean, you have to pull up his footage.
You come in here all wrong on a Monday.
Yeah.
Angel got this man triggered.
Yeah.
Now you've let Memphis know. Can we move on?
Yes, exactly. I wanted Memphis to know.
Did you see Rory blow up?
I didn't watch a second.
Then you wouldn't know that last week I told you to get off of that Scheffler train. If you were listening very closely on FanDuel, I said jump on DeChambeau. Look what happened.
Wow, you called that out?
Yes.
That's impressive.
You go back and get the tape. I said, well, shit, I ain't playing so well. I think it must have been Friday.
Yeah.
Must have been Friday. I called it DeChambeau, two-time U.S. Open champion.
Yeah.
Started to like this guy
That's impressive.
It's kind of like a Kyrie switch.
Uh-huh.
Didn't like him, especially when he was here. Remember TPC, the stuff with Ants, the way he talked to Jeff and others? You know, that remember, that was there was the vaccine stuff.
Oh, yeah,
People around here were angry.
He
talked about it with our man last night on SportsCenter and, you know, how he's kind of turned over a new leaf. Look what happens. You win.
So was he willing to get the vaccine on live television?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
All right,
but he talked about how his maturing, and I just see, again, I see a man who's now, you know, benefiting from that. Whereas your boy Rory, Jeffrey Wright's boy Rory, continues to disappoint in these majors.
Tough.
He blew it.
How did Tiger
Are you aware of this?
I know. I saw it all on Twitter.
Tiger.
I saw he blew like it was a putt or something.
My dad stopped talking to me after Tiger didn't make the cut this weekend.
It was
a club choice. He dies with Tiger at cut line.
Right.
I don't even recall. I'm pretty sure he missed the cut. He didn't pull out this time, right?
I think he missed the cut.
Yes. I'm serious, man. That's all my dad lives
he
for
earned
now.
That one.
That's all he lives for now. It's over.
Yeah. Well, unfortunate for Rory. I just didn't. It's not something that's going to be on in my house. Although it does sound, it's like it was dramatic. There was a club choice somewhere along the.
He drove off very angry. He didn't talk to he didn't.
Right.
Talk,
I saw that
he's being
video.
Criticized
yeah.
for that today.
I could. I don't get it, man. Because you know.
Well, if you'd lost the way he has last 10 years, and
right,
you know, it's a bunch of top 10 finishes, but can't win. It's a drought that he can't end. So I mean, even me, the casual fringe golf observer, only pays attention when somebody's making history, whatever else.
Mm.
You know, could feel Rory's frustration here. Mm-hmm. This drought is continuing. So I'm in Mr. Meltdown yesterday.
Yeah, when I go to Topgolf, I just use the one club.
How many times you been now?
Just use the driver. I think I've gone twice now in the last.
I still have not been. Good for you. Being
I mean, it's
there
cool.
Twice.
Yeah, it's cool. But I only use the driver.
Remember, you were concerned about safety earlier.
I've
hitting
that
thing. Twice, and you've had a great time.
Yeah.
You took your family?
No.
Okay. Just went by yourself, just in case.
With my wife. Well, once I went with my buddy. Once I went with my wife.
Okay.
At a birthday party.
I mean, DJ much too young.
Very too. Well, yeah. Yeah, he can't go. He can't leave the house.
Yeah, I gotta take Chris.
He had a blast.
You're now two up on me. Yeah,
he had a blast. But okay. I only use the driver. That's what I would recommend to anybody that's professionally. I would just use the driver at all times. That's
We should get back out on the links here soon.
Yeah, like, it will. Sometimes I'll miss the ball, and it'll go, like, you know, 30 yards, which is perfect in some instances. And then sometimes I'll actually connect with it, and it'll go, like, 125, 150 yards, you know?
Just never know.
You really don't with me. So, again, that's what I would recommend. Just use that same driver on every type of shot.
All right.
In the sand, on the fairway, off the tee, putting. That's what I would do. So, again, that's free. The next consultation
will not
be free of charge. So, all right, so that's the show today. Jason Fitz is going to join us at 125, talk to him about all this and more. So that is what we'll do on this particular Monday. We got Game 5 tonight of Dallas and Boston. Let's get into a few things here. Let's do a little cap.
It means lion, but built different now. It's cap.
I'm going to say cap.
For no cap.
I'm going to say that's no cap.
On 92.9's Jason and John Show.
All right, Jason, let's get into it. If the Celtics want to win this series, they have to do it tonight. Is that cap or no cap?
It's real easy here to say that's no cap. That you could see the Celtics, if they want to play tonight, going back to Dallas winning game 6 and it forcing game 7. We saw Celtics lose a game 7 last year that we thought they were going to win. And so it real easy to say no cap here. And I'll tell you this, real fast before I end, Jason Tatum and these pressers and everything else, I sense a lack of urgency. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's me wanting to pick on Jason Tatum, you know, these playoffs. You know, maybe it's personal, just in terms of sort of expecting more from him. He hasn't sort of had that signature game yet in these finals. Can we agree on that?
I mean, some would have said game two, but that's fine. No, I think it was the game where he was more of the playmaker. Was it game three where he had 31?
I guess, man.
The 31
came with a Jalen 30, and Jalen was making the plays on that one. Now, I was with you on the playmaker game.
Yes.
But either way, my point is, I needs to be closeout time. Needs to be close. So I don't like that. I don't like that. You know, if whatever he's putting out in terms of perception wise is
game two was 18-12 and 9,
which was John, that's a great game. I don't know if it's a signature game. I don't know if it's what I'm looking.
There hasn't
been a moment.
I'm
looking for a finals MVP type performance.
You want a moment,
yeah, and just when you add to that sort of what we've seen that game five ain't really our last chance. We're gonna have more cracks at it. And if you know, there's been I wish there was more of a sense of urgency on his part. I think it's there from the other players. All that said, I'm going to say, frankly, even though I didn't like hearing it, he's right that even if they lose this one, it's not quite over. I know the easy answer here is no cap, but I'm going to go that it's cap. Boston's been, I'll tell you this, yeah, they lost game four, but that was the first road game they'd lost all playoffs. And so the idea that they can't win a game six back down in Dallas, no, that's far-fetched. They can. And so it's not over. It's just the right answer. As much as I want to say, and maybe you will, Boston better in this tonight, or else we're going seven, and who knows then, right? Because that's the narrative. But I'm not buying in. I'm not buying in.
Yeah.
So I go, it's cap that they gotta win it, or else it's.
Well, it's definitely cap.
But
I think you start to think about the psychological.
Of course,
right?
The last couple of years of Boston now comes back into it where we've seen them, you know, blow it.
But just last year, we saw this happen to the Celtics in the inverse, right? They were in the position of the Dallas Mavericks. They were down 3-0. Now it wasn't the finals, but it was the East Conference. They were down 3-0. They got it all the way back to seven. And they got blown out
in game seven. We thought they were going to win.
Right. So they were 8-point favorites. So we would have said, oh, man, they have to win this game. You know, the Heat have to win this game five, you know, if they want to, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just not true, right? It's just not true. They can win game six. They can win game seven. That's the beauty of having a 3-0 lead. But will anybody be picking the Boston Celtics if they lose tonight to win the series? No, they will not. Everybody will start to shift. Everybody will start to say that the Boston Celtics are not winning this series. They've blown it. They've choked. This is going back to Dallas, and the Mavericks are going to win. And then if it goes to game seven, then the Boston Celtics are going to lose. Now, I do think, I'm not predicting this, but in some ways, these are the perfect teams that would make history in this regard, right? 0-156 is the current record. This would be 1-156 if the Mavs pull it off. The Celtics are the perfect team to do it because they are, at times, very spacey, very lackadaisical.
Yes, that has been their M.O.
Game four was a perfect example of that, right? Like, they just weren't locked in at all. Mm-hmm. They just kind of conceded the game, you know? And, like, a team that was a straight killer, they would not have done that. So they don't have that. And that's again, a case for why they would be the first to blow a 3-0 lead. Why are the Mavericks the perfect team that would do it down 3-0? Because, like, they have nothing to lose. They have an all-world player in Luka. Kyrie has finally found some success, you know, and they have no pressure. So that's a powerful thing.
Hasn't found success in Boston yet, though.
But you would think, like, come on. It's going to come.
Maybe he was too caught up with worrying about the fans and whatnot. They were too loud and trying to put on.
Because the truth is, the pressure is still all on Boston to close out tonight.
It absolutely is.
You know, and like, Dallas has shown they do a good job of not feeling that.
Yeah, well, you're getting a little – just be careful about influencing Brad.
I don't want to influence Brad. I don't think I can.
The psychology of the matchup.
I don't think I can. But I will say this. History is going to be made in this series one way or the other. That is already guaranteed.
Eventually, the Celtics is going to close this out.
Because no team –
get an 18th. Yeah. That's the history.
Well, that too. But no team has ever won the finals after losing one finals game by 38 or more.
Yeah.
I mean, they did lose.
I don't like the way they checked out of that game.
I mean, that's
exactly. I don't like it at all. This whole we got another shot. We'll just do it in Boston attitude that I hoped on Friday when we talked about this that
that's
you would not see.
Exactly. And you know what? I thought about this a lot. I thought about this a lot because if you go back, this happened in the Warriors-Grizzlies series. The Warriors were supposed to come to Memphis. Ja was out. They're supposed to close the game out. They're supposed to close the series out, and they lost by, what, 50?
Mm-hmm.
And they ended up winning the series. But the difference between the Warriors and the Celtics is very, very important. The Warriors have won multiple championships.
Yep.
They have that pedigree. They have that DNA. They have things they can, like, they can genuinely say, we're not worried about that.
Yep.
We've won titles. We know how to handle this. As opposed to the Celtics, they don't have that.
Well, Jalen about to walk through that door tonight.
Somebody's gonna have to do it.
He let me down game four.
And Drew is kind of getting figured out offensively too. Like, he's not giving you very much. Maybe it's because he's just, you know. But you saw a different Luka defensively in game four. There's no doubt about that,
dude. He can be. It's still below average, but when he's committed, it's still you can get by.
Now,
put it that way.
He was peak motivation.
He quit.
Peak motivation because of all the talk, all the wind horse, all the, you know, he had to.
The Malika interview,
yes,
all of it he'd been
exactly.
criticized for.
Can he channel that again? I don't know. I mean,
well,
I
like you said, they're still playing free.
They are playing free, which makes them dangerous. Mm-hmm. It makes them dangerous for a team like the Boston Celtics. Who,
Lively
again,
last two games has been
huge,
impactful now.
And no Porzingis again.
That's the key there.
It's starting to stack up now.
He was available last game.
Yes.
He's available. Probably would be available this game. We'll see if they actually use
him. The reports are that he would be using the same instance.
Well, I mean, they've unlocked Lively. You got to put something out there.
Yep.
My point is maybe you try it now.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think they're just going to keep him on the active lineup to put him in there with 10 seconds left if they're winning by, you know, whatever.
Maybe.
But
I don't know.
Again, even if he plays, like, is he ready? Like, is he, you know,
or
himself?
You just need him to stand out there. Was it 7-3, the rim presence he was? You know, again, you're not asking as much from him offensively. Like,
yeah,
he came back shooting jumpers, everything else. But,
yeah.
Just defensively.
Yeah, I just.
Again, you'll probably treat it like we don't need him. We've got these cracks, if Tatum's attitude's any indication. Anyway.
I just think there's a risk you run when you let a team win by the margin that you let them win by.
Maybe so. Especially, you know, when it's this Boston team that hasn't shown us they can close out in these moments yet.
And they have to. Exactly. So,
I'm with you on that. It's cap that they have to win it.
They could win. They've won in Dallas.
This,
they could do it again.
Right. Pretty thoroughly.
You know?
Yeah.
Because, again, I think the pressure then shifts to Dallas in game six because you're at home. You're like, you have to force
again,
the game.
Again, Boston's only lost the one road game.
So,
and they checked out early, boy.
Exactly.
Hopefully they save some up. They got to go to a game six.
But catch that game tonight here on 92.9 FM ESPN. I mean, obviously, just as a basketball fan, I'm hopeful that, you know, we get a game six at this.
But if we do, let's make this one competitive. I just.
Yeah.
Ugh. That you're not even watching that game in the second half.
Yeah.
You know.
All right, moving right along, the University of Memphis Athletic Director Candidate Group is good.
Kudos to you.
Cap or no cap?
This weekend, I didn't get a chance to mention it actually in my monologue.
Right.
Not sure if you remember, I was cut off Jeff Calkins style about halfway through.
Yes.
Jumped in there.
But sorry.
I was actually you should be, because I was going to give you credit for the work you did over the weekend on the AD story. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Nice scoop.
Appreciate it. Yeah, teamed up with Tim Buckley over there, and basically, the way this all is cracking down is the process is speeding up for the University of Memphis. I think it'll go pretty quickly here. They are interviewing at least four up to six candidates for the open AD job. Four of them we were able to name. I know a fifth, but I can't unfortunately say it, you know, for the record. We'll say it's a.
Is he already here?
No, it's a sitting AD.
Jeff gave an indication that he thought that Crane might still get an interview.
Correct.
Although you all seem to make it very clear, I thought from the last Daily Memphian story I read that he's still considered an outsider.
Well,
so is he going to be one of the other two interviewed or no?
Yeah, he's the interim, so you get like an interim courtesy kind of thing.
But it's your understanding.
But it's been emphasized that he will not be getting the job. That he will not be the selection there.
Okay.
Now, whether or not he gets an interview, you know, I mean, I think that's really inconsequential.
At this point, yeah, if that's what you're telling us, for
but
sure.
I do think Memphis will be going with someone outside of the building right now. And the four candidates that we named are Ryan Alpert from Tennessee. We've talked about him. Used to be here at Memphis as a deputy. Was at Missouri, was at FAU, was at Missouri again, now at Tennessee. Mark Allnut, the current athletic director at Buffalo. Ed Scott, Deputy AD at Virginia, and then Kevin White, Deputy AD at Clemson. So those gentlemen will all interview on Zoom after that. I think they will move to an in-person somewhere, whether it's here, whether it's, you know, Atlanta, somewhere. You know how this goes. You get in person, you go from there. So is it good? I would say it is. I would probably say, cap on good. I think there are candidates that are good. Do I think the pool itself is good?
Mm.
Not really. You know, there's a lot of inexperience in there. Right, that's just the truth. There's
well, when you say inexperience doing what?
Being an AD, like a full time. Well, you're not getting a sitting AD, most likely.
Yeah, Veach wasn't a sitting AD.
That's true. I mean, it's fine.
When have you pulled that? Bowen.
Yeah.
You know, I guess if you want to go back.
San Jose, wasn't
he? RC, I guess, from Temple.
Yeah.
But we hadn't done it like that.
Right.
You know.
No, it's very difficult to.
With all the challenges.
Exactly. Now, again, you don't have to be a sitting AD to be a good AD one day, right? Like, that's the truth.
I mean, deputy AD at ADs at SEC and ACC programs, though.
Certainly.
And some of these guys have moved up through the ranks, including, you know.
Some are better than others, is what I would say. Some can't, I mean, which is always the case in any job.
I mean, I'm trying to make the argument good here, just trying to figure out where you're at pushing it down.
It's not like.
Again, in terms of the facilities projects, that whether it's Alpert or.
Right.
Look like White at Clemson has overseen a huge one.
Yeah.
There's that experience check, you know. Check in the box. You just don't have, to what you point out first, the AD experience.
Right. Well, it's not like, you know.
But, I mean, Mark's got that Allnut of Buffalo. Obviously, you mentioned.
But it's just not a job that, like, you know, like your lower level, you know, you're just not jumping at it right now. And I guess I understand it's hard. It's like it's hard to leave a similar job that probably pays the same or ish, you know, for a whole new situation, as you said, with whole new challenges. I'm not saying that the next AD can't be good. I'm just saying that the pool is probably not as strong as maybe I thought it could be. But there are challenges. I think if I were sort of doing the search myself, it's hard for me to get to Allnut. I'm going to be honest with you. It's hard for me to get to Allnut because, he was responsible for the Tubby Smith hire in part. I mean, he was over that entire search, and that's just something that I just can't forget. I mean, I know it wasn't just him.
Right, but like we said, that was search firm.
Yeah, it wasn't just him, but he did certainly have an active role in it, and that was just all that was just one of the most
disastrous hires. Certainly wasn't his idea, but yes, he went down in part of getting him.
Right, it just kind of goes on your record, you know?
Sure.
And, you know, Buffalo's athletic programs I don't really think have been flourishing exactly.
Well, we looked at basketball, it's kind of gone downhill.
Yeah, so that kind of is a tough sell. Again, on the deputy ADs, you just don't. All you really have is how much credit do they get for certain stuff, right? It's like how much are they actually doing, and that's what Memphis is going to have to figure out. I think some are probably more active in their athletic departments and big decisions than others, and so they're going to have to figure that out, you know, in the process. But yeah, this is going to happen pretty quickly. I think you know, again, we've talked about it. The best candidate is probably, in my mind, for this job right now is Ryan Alpert, just because he's been here before. He's seen what it was like before football was good. He's been at Power 5 SEC stops. He's even been at FAU. And I think that knowing the lay of the land is super important. You know, knowing what you're walking into at Memphis and the challenges that you have and the things that you can do, I think that, to me, is damn near a prerequisite for the job. Because if you don't get it and you don't understand it, it's going to be a hard time for you. It took Laird. Dude, Laird had a hard time until the end, until he got the chance to announce the NIL and the stadium renovations. But you would say before that, he didn't really make that much of an impact. You know, so it's tough.
Yeah, but again, you know, working all of that behind the scenes, setting it up for the way you went out. I mean, that was groundwork that was being laid. And no, maybe he's not out rah-rahing the program in the way that we all, you know, you want your athletic director to be selling the program, but he was obviously getting done behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I mean, he went out with a bang, bro.
Yeah, he's absolutely did.
And really set it up. And what I was concerned about, and maybe the reason why I still think this is I would still say a good pool, is because a guy like Ryan Alpert, who I like a lot too, and I didn't realize this until I reread your story. He got his master's from here too, from Memphis. Unlike the other guys, I think. So there's a little tiger in him as well. Even though, you know, technically didn't get, but he got his master's degree from Memphis. So there's a little bit of that. I think the part is I wondered if after the NCAA settlement news, which obviously is an indication of us that in this new college athletics landscape, possibly you're going to get left behind even more because you're not in a power structure that's handing out 21, 22, whatever it's going to be, million dollars a year.
Yep.
You wondered if you could still lure deputy ADs at SEC programs like a Ryan Alpert into a situation like that, because this the settlement news came after, you know, after Memphis opens up, if I'm not mistaken. And so I wondered if, whether it's Ryan Alpert or anybody, even a Kevin White that you're pulling over from the ACC and asking to come over here from Clemson, I wondered if those guys would still be interested, seeing,
yeah,
again, right in front of us, we still don't know how it's all going to play out. Is Memphis even going to be allowed to even try it? But the point is, do they still see a future at a spot like Memphis that looks like, at least from the settlement news, it's going to get left further and further behind? Yeah, everything's set up with, you know, great things are set up with FedEx in terms of NIL, but with that settlement news, you just want, again, it's the haves, haves, not have nots, and it felt like we got further behind. What we talk about, the wall, this is why you were going, the wall being stacked up higher, it felt like, against Memphis with this settlement news. And could you still attract, back to the point, this kind of quality of candidate, guys who have been deputy ADs, guys who are handling hundreds of million dollars worth of facility projects at big schools with big football and basketball, would they still be interested? Would they still see Memphis as a spot where, like Laird Veach, they could come in, be AD here, get it on their resume, and then jump off to an SEC sitting AD job?
No doubt.
Do you still see it as that,
yeah,
after the settlement news?
Right.
And so I think the fact that guys like Ryan Alpert,
yeah,
if I'm making sense here to get back to the point here, guys like Ryan Alpert, Kevin White are still interested, is a good sign for Memphis.
Right.
That you held on to those guys,
sure,
even post this settlement,
yeah,
news.
So,
again, there's still a lot to work out with. How's Memphis going to operate in this new world,
right,
if it all comes down? And there's still so much more to figure out with the NCAA. But that news came down after this spot opened. The fact that I think that you keep guys like Alpert in the pool,
yeah,
I think makes that pool good.
Yeah.
The fact that you keep guys like Kevin White in the pool is good. That they still see this as, okay, even with all those challenges, I still see Memphis as a spot where, you know, I can, that can springboard me to a big sitting AD job.
Yeah.
See my point?
And absolutely.
So for those things, and maybe not boiling down to their experience and everything else, I still see it as a good pool if you go back to the cap or no
cap. Yeah, I mean, sure, fair. I mean, I might be a little hard on it, you know, just because it's not necessarily flush with sitting AD candidates. In all the conversations I've had with anybody about this job, that has not come up as an issue, the settlement. Now, maybe that's because we don't necessarily
know. Well, there's so many question marks around it.
Look, yeah.
But again, remember, though, that paying $20, $21 million to athletes is for the power structure.
Correct.
You are not currently a part of that.
Yes.
We don't know how this is going to work out.
Yes.
So, yeah, you look flush in group of five.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but what about that situation? Is this going to lead to a, mm-hmm, to an SOS where you can't compete for the highest level recruits, transfer, right, portal athletes, all that?
And again, like, I mean, the group of five is still responsible for some of those payouts. I mean, you know.
But here's the, and I heard this discussed real quick on Jeff before we move on. The next AD, if Memphis doesn't make it to the power structure, that's not on that AD. That's been Memphis's issue, you know, as a university, as an athletic department for years. And so while, yes, it would be nice if the next guy, right, is the gatekeeper while Memphis is marching its way into a, you know, an ACC that now needs members because the thing's blown up. But it's not, if you don't get there, that's no fail, to my point here. I heard a little bit of that discussed this morning. That's no fail on this AD. That is not really your charge. You know, yes, you're overseeing that, but it's not on you. You know, it's no AD, my point, is going to get you to the power structure. You know, that comes down, again, to university presidents and everything else. And so I don't look at that. Yes, it's one of the challenges of the job.
Right.
But that's not your and maybe, yes, you want to make it your priority, but that's not what you're going to be graded on here. Does that make sense?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's I can't, you know, lay it all on one person.
Yeah, it can be. First off, it's not on ADs.
Yeah.
You know, it's on these university presidents and the television execs and everything else. Mm-hmm. What worth you're bringing.
But, yeah, anyway, I mean,
no,
it's
a good group of candidates. You probably need to come up on that.
Yeah, I think look, that's possible.
Three brothers. I wish Tim Duncan was in there. And, we had used, well, he's a Tiger. And in a Tiger situation, where's Tim at now?
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
New Orleans.
Yeah.
Obviously, they don't have football.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a situation where you do, and you've got to be able to oversee
and quite frankly,
and continue to grow it.
You know, the focus does need to be on football for the next hire. Somebody that can really come in and materially improve that and upgrade that and continue to keep it at a high level. Because, as we said a million times, basketball is self. Now, you may have things you have to do.
Again, you better have a vision. You better have a post-penny vision in your back
absolutely,
pocket.
Absolutely right.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Like, I agree with you.
Yeah.
You're right. You have to continue to take advantage of where football is right now. Hopefully cash in on these years you got an op at the college football playoff and do everything you can to put Ryan Sorfield in this program in that position. But, you know, basketball's in a tough spot, so you're right. It has a tendency to run itself in terms of the support and everything else, but, you know, it ain't in a great place right now either. So you better be prepared is my point.
Yeah. No, I totally
agree.
And
just be laying off.
I totally agree. But listen, I think this will probably happen and wrap up within the next 2.5-3 weeks, you know, and that's probably, you know, pushing it out pretty far. And, yeah, it's a big job. There are certainly some good things that come with it, and there are going to be some immediate challenges that come with it as well. But, you know, if you can figure out a way to navigate them and,
you know. I don't realize Alpert is technically a Tiger because he got that
master's. He got that degree, yeah.
That master's.
I think that helps him. I think that helps him a lot.
I talked about it again, you know, liking Tim Duncan
because
he's a former Tiger, and you want to help those guys.
Yeah.
Hadn't factored in that Alpert has actually got a little Tiger blood in himself.
Right. Again, this is a search. This is a committee that's kind of making this decision, mm-hmm. right? But I do think Alpert has some great advocates, you know, around college athletics, you know, that are close to some people on the committee that are pushing for him. And look, a lot of people are pushing for this job. But again, I think Alpert is definitely. You know, again, the issue is the inexperience, but he's been over so many different, you know, fundraising things at
the
Tennessee.
The thing it did, $337 million renovation at Neyland.
And plus, he's been there. Like, for me, if you've been here before, that actually has a lot of weight.
Because you understand the challenges
absolutely.
Better. All Nut falls in that category.
No, he does.
He understands.
He does. But it's just like, I'm you know, I'm just, I think I'm a little less impressed with the Buffalo situation, right? Now, look, it's possible that, you put Alpert in there, he couldn't do anything with it either. It might just be a dead-end job, right, at Buffalo. I acknowledge that there could be some huge challenges, and it might not be fair necessarily to gauge what you can do based on the resources that Buffalo may have. I'm not
maybe
super
in tune. What you know about the fifth candidate, too, influences your decision. on whether this is all a good, because you know another candidate.
Well, you know, it's a sitting AD.
That obviously isn't,
you know,
a sitting AD.
Yeah, it is a sitting
and
AD.
And that still doesn't impress you, though.
I mean, it's you know, it's decent.
Because you said the inexperience of these candidates
right.
is part of what brought this group down
yeah.
for you.
This yeah.
fifth is a sitting AD. I'm glad,
so two,
I'm glad I pushed you on that.
Two
you told,
sitting ADs
you gave us
that
a little,
I know of.
Another little crumb, guys, if yeah. you're listening there. I got another little crumb out of John there.
Yeah, so sitting. Two sitting. I just can't. I've been asked not to name him.
But it's not Crane.
Mm-mm. Well, he's not a sitting AD. He's just an interim.
Right. And it's not Tim Duncan.
Again, I've just been told by multiple people on Crane, three different people, that it's not going to him.
It's on the cards.
Yeah. So, yep. And I think, again, you got to think more creatively. You know, you've been in the department, you know, which I don't mean that as a, but it's oftentimes very unsexy to promote from within. It just is. I'm not saying that it can't be the right decision, mm-hmm. but it's just, it's oftentimes unsexy. And I think they have a chance here to, you know, to take a big swing.
Well, if they felt like he was integral to the FedEx deal and getting more of that going forward, he would be in the mix.
Yeah, I'm not saying he can't. As far as I'm not saying he's not a valuable.
I'm sure he's been part of that
yeah.
and everything else. But like I said, if he was a pivot point on that, right, if he'd been, you'd figure he'd be in more serious consideration.
Exactly. So anyway, that's that on the Memphis AD search. Okay, Reed Sheppard, Kentucky guard, won't be there at 9, where the Grizzlies are currently slotted to select. Is that cap or no cap?
That is no cap. He won't. I'm surprised. The Athletics got a new mock draft out, and as John mentioned, Reed Sheppard, they've got Grizzlies taking Reed Sheppard, number 9, the guard out of Kentucky. We've talked about him, a shooter, just knows the game real well, obviously the son of a hooper. But defensively, there are challenges. People seem to be pretty convinced, though, he's going to eventually be able to handle that. Once he gets, you know, makes the transition over to the league, he'll get baked early. And I'm sure, I mean, every player at some point gets baked during the season. But Reed Sheppard early on will face being targeted. But they figure he'll catch up. And for all those points, and the evidence of that is that most have him going top 5, like still 3 I've seen to the Houston Rockets on a lot of these drafts. And so I just think the idea that a Reed Sheppard's going to be available at 9 is a little far fetched here, so I'm gonna go that Reed Sheppard won't be available at 9.
Yeah, I think there's like no chance. So,
eyebrow raised up a little bit. It's the first time I'd seen Reed drop. I'd wondered if it was, you know, is there any real information? It's funny what they write about it, and this isn't Vecini that did this. This is Ico. Should be pointed out. Sheppard falling on the Grizzlies would be close to a dream scenario. Marcus Smart is a starter alongside Ja Morant. And with all due respect to Derrick Rose, that's not getting it done in the Western Conference. Just completely leaves out Bane. He makes it seem like it's just a Marcus Smart, mm-hmm. Ja Morant backcourt that, of course, you'd want to add Reed Sheppard to. Again, not sure if it was a, you know, just a mistake or whatever else. Memphis needs to add shooting, which obviously is the case. A capable deputy ball handler and then some more shooting. And listen, we've all said Reed Sheppard would be a great fit here. And it does. And I agree with Ico here. He pointed out later on that, you know, this would make Luke Kennard expendable. And you need him expendable, quite frankly, with your tax situation. But the idea that it's just Morant and Smart in the backcourt, you know, that you don't already have a 1-2. Mm-hmm. Smart is the small here. Mm-hmm. He is the 3. But sort of the scenario painted here is that, you know, yeah, he's going to play immediately because it's just Marcus Smart and Ja Morant. I push back on that. But yes, obviously, Reed Sheppard would be a great addition. He ain't dropping a 9.
Yeah, I think there's no chance. No chance at all. I would just, like, give up that ghost right now if you're a Grizzlies fan.
You don't think, though, that as many concerns as there are about his defense, that it is great, that, you know, my gosh, everybody loves every other part of his game, obviously, for him to be still considered a top 3, top 5 pick. I'm not saying he's not going there. I think he is. My point is he worth that? There's, maybe because of this draft, right? It's because of this draft.
Yeah.
I mean, he's 6'2".
Yeah, and also there's no Kentucky guard that's ever been bad.
Who was my guy? The Oakland they tore him up in the tournament.
They did. I mean, they got.
You know what I'm saying?
Win.
It's not like this guy's just is a can't miss. What is obvious here? The circumstances are you've got a wide open draft here that we don't know. You know that anybody of these guys is a, and that's how a Reed Sheppard can move up, dude. I just 3 pick for Reed Sheppard.
I mean, there's just no such thing as a former Kentucky guard that's bad in the NBA. I mean, you can't find one. I mean, Devin Booker, De'Aaron Fox, SGA. Tyler Hero. I mean, Tyrese Maxey, Malik Monk, Jamal Murray, Emmanuel Quickley. I mean, there's just no such thing. Cason Wallace, you know, like they're all really.
I'm just saying, Luke Kennard can shoot it well too, and I'm only comparing the two because, well, I mean, Luke can't play on ball, and that'll be
correct.
A difference there. That's a huge difference. So you can back up Ja Morant technically, right? But my point is, Houston with Ime and what they did with Dylan Brooks last year, they actually started to form an identity defensively, and sure, you always need shooting, but I just are we convinced that Reed Shepard's going to be able to handle defensively? You know, because let me tell you this, Luke Kennard is such a liability on defense that in the playoffs you can't play him,
mm-hmm.
And so. I'm not hating on Reed Shepard here. I just the draft is this is not a great draft.
No, it's not.
I think in most years you wouldn't see a 6'2". You're right. Every Kentucky guard's been good, but a 6'2" guy like this that's mostly a shooter, not going to be a starting point guard in the league. I don't maybe. You know where are you playing him? Jalen Green's got the ball in his hands, next to him, off ball.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think
I'm just saying, if I'm Houston, is that my pick? Not saying he doesn't deserve one in this draft, but I got questions on Reed Shepard. Of course I'd love him at 9.
Right.
You know, in the role that the Grizzlies would have for him. But Houston's still building. I just wonder does he fit what you're trying to do defensively down there.
Man, no, I think
just some fair questions.
Exactly.
Don't take it so personal, bro.
No, not at all. Okay. I just think if he's there at 9, it's just
I saw you put your foot down about every Kentucky guard has been good.
Yes.
Don't
now,
tell
there have been a couple.
I love me wanting Malik Monk. He's a pure success.
Yeah.
So you're right. I subscribe to that. They most have been good. What was my guy Goodwin? Wasn't. Who's my guy?
Archie.
Archie. What happened to Archie?
Yeah, he never
Well, not every last one of them, man.
But in the, I mean, we're talking.
I had to go deep.
80%.
I had to go deep on you.
I mean, I'll even go further. Like
Jamal Booker, my gosh.
Ashton Hagens was a bust.
Okay.
He's on a two-way.
Yeah.
But
there are more of them than
more hits than misses.
Oh, certainly. I'm just saying there's more misses than I initially. Because I was with you. It feels
PJ
like
Washington
about 95%.
Is not a guard. But
PJ is not a guard, yeah.
You know, again, he's Kentucky. I mean, Cal does do one thing extremely well.
What about your brothers, the Whites, though?
There haven't been any. There haven't been any that have played that position in Kentucky.
What? Isn't that the question? Then
it so, must, but it
so
must mean he's very special.
He is special. That is obvious. I'm a fan, John.
I'm not
you're taking
so sure.
this very. Usually, when we do white athlete, you get very giddy.
What?
Yeah, I think John's taking it personal because he feels like the question's being asked: should a white guard go top five? A 6'2" white guard.
Yeah, I mean he's a winner. I know that he's going to produce.
Well, he
the
got
NBA.
Baked. He got baked up by Oakland.
Bro, that man had, 40 against Mississippi State? Man, that man was absolutely toasting DJ Jeffries,
What
bro.
Was my name? Golkey?
Golkey, yes. What did he do against DJ Jeffries
had a career
Mississippi
on
State,
that
man? That man, every trip, it was just do him.
We just DJ underestimated
It wasn't just DJ. It was everybody. It was the whole team. But I'm just saying, bro. I mean, you pick a SEC game, that man was tearing that ass
bro,
up.
Bro, are y'all trying to add Reed Shepard to lift? Because that's the sense I'm
Should've
getting.
Been.
This is very personal.
Should have.
So he's already signed up. He's not a lift man?
No.
I'm surprised, actually, by the way you're reacting at my Reed Shepard take and my concerns.
27 against Tennessee, 32 against Mississippi State.
Bro, what'd he do against Oakland?
Man, it don't matter. The whole team is a joke.
Why are we erasing that game?
24 against Florida. I mean, you name it, man. He was really starting to cook at the end of the season.
Well, it's clear John believes that this man ain't going nowhere near number 9.
And he was a bench guy.
Shepard may go 1 next Wednesday. If John has anything to say about it.
He's not number 1, but, I mean, honestly, why not? I mean, with the European dudes, I ain't never seen them. I mean, right. I have no opinion on Reese Ishay and Sarr.
Dude, I'm high on Reed Shepard, too. You're just a little too high, I think,
you just
is what we've identified today.
You think the Grizz trade down and get him,
my
bro.
My goodness.
Get him maybe a 15?
You love T.J. McConnell. This might be T.J. times 10 for you.
I just want you to go back.
The way this white boy can play.
That man was 11 of 14 from the field against Mississippi State.
Oh, he's a killer.
On the road.
He's
Come
a
on,
killer.
Bro.
Don't get me wrong. This is a new level,
what is it,
bro.
Is it the hump?
He's going to be chasing around.
Is that Mississippi State at the hump? That man was doing the humpty hump at the hump on Mississippi State and DJ for your ass. How you like that?
You act like they some good tournament team or something.
I don't care about that
winning
team.
Winning out the playoffs.
That team was poorly constructed.
First whatever it was.
It was not a bad team because of Reed. That we know. Reed is the only thing that kept them credible. I mean, he was the tie that binds. And so if he's there at 9, Buddy, do you think that Adam Silver's going to even have to walk up there and say the Memphis Grizzlies are on the clock?
There ain't no way he's going to be there at nine.
They gonna
even
hit.
If Houston doesn't take him three, you
no,
know,
he's somebody
gonna
get will trade up
before
together.
Then. Yes, yes, yes.
I mean,
exactly.
Because he's really like that.
Not defensively.
Man, we ain't talking about that.
Stop. This man said, like that.
He's really like that.
Man, you
that.
Need to calm down about Reed Shepard,
bro. Your best work
Shepard,
is a light pack. All right?
My goodness.
No,
what are you watching? Reed Shepard highlights all
bro,
weekend?
One thing about it is, there's a lot of things in this draft that I question. It is not Reed Shepard. Give me some other names. I'll give you some questions.
Holding 6'5 guards, you might question it. That man going to get targeted out there.
He's going to be a really, really good second unit guy for the first 2 to 3 years of his career. And then he's going to get into a situation where he's asked to start, and he's just going to win.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, he's just going to win. I feel very good about that. He's going to be a very good NBA player. Is he going to be a Hall of Famer? No.
You can't play Luke Kennard in the playoffs.
Correct.
You agree with that statement?
Yes.
Reed Shepard.
Reed is more athletic
will
than Luke.
Will be in the rotation.
He's more athletic than Luke.
He is more athletic than
so
Luke.
He,
I'll give you that.
And he does more than Luke. Luke is a one-trick pony. That is all he does. You know, we saw
know
the
Reed
Luke.
Playmaker.
We saw that.
Handles.
We saw that. That was a mess. Reed will not be that. Reed is built for this.
Next Jay Will on the way, according to John Martin. Reed Shepard, ladies
and
gentlemen.
He's got a little in him. He does. He's got a little in him. I'm a Reed Shepard, like, God.
You have made that demonstratively clear
but
today.
But, again, he will not be there at 9. So
we
I mean,
agree
this is a
on
point.
That, and that's about
now,
it on
if,
Reed.
If you want to sit there and, you know, this call Gavone and ask him about his fit with the Rockets.
Man, we need to check. He's already signed.
I wish
he ain't
would.
With Lyft.
No.
You ain't got to do this.
Unfortunately, we are moving on to the NFL. We are no longer signing draft prospects.
I see y'all getting quarterbacks now.
How about that, by the way? Mike Miller signed an NFL starting quarterback to Lyft over the weekend. Are you kidding me?
Now, I mean, my guess is there's only going to be more.
My
isn't
God.
That, wasn't that what you're alluding to when you put this on social media? Didn't you tell us
there's be more splashes?
I mean,
yeah.
There's going to be more coming.
More than I even
that's impressive.
Thought at the time, actually. Since then.
He goes in after they sign the deal.
Well, in this case, it was actually brought to him.
Excuse me?
Yeah, he was.
Kyler just got his money like 2 years ago,
correct,
right?
Correct, yes.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Ja got his money, Kyler got his money, and then Mike comes in.
Yes. And
lands these guys
yes.
and gets them
yes.
to flip
so the
as opposed to going into those guys.
Exactly. The Ja thing had kind of been in the works for a couple of years going back to the Holloway incident. Like, that had kind of been in the works. It yeah. took, you know, until after that. But obviously, Ja is so young, he's going to have another deal, you know what I'm saying? Before his career is over, another big deal. But Kyler basically was there. His camp reached out to Lyft. It wasn't because Mike was not involved in NFL agent, right? Like, he wasn't doing that. I'd asked Mike about that a million times. Like, why are you not doing NFL? He didn't want to do it. I don't think he necessarily had the ins or like sort of knew. Like, it's easy if you're Mike Miller to get a meeting with somebody that plays in the NBA.
Harrison Twins. Everybody's that. My tech.
Harrison Twins played in the NBA for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, y'all not, used to not, tell me Andrew
they're
Harrison.
They're holding you to it here.
Y'all used to tell me Andrew Harrison with the Grizz, he was supposed to be like a 10-year
All NBA
vet.
Defense.
Yeah,
man,
exactly.
Get up out of here.
That's what y'all used to say, man.
Like, we can't say that they're on the level of some of these guys.
Well, Reed Shepard's going to be better than y'all got to come up with these 2012
again, my
ass
phone
comps.
Is blowing up with folks that, yeah, you
that's
said.
Because
that,
y'all are, that's because
you really
you're miserable
put your
people.
Foot down on it that all
miserable people
are.
Look for that. That's what they're doing. They're miserable people. They're just looking for people that failed. You know, and I'm focusing on the people that succeed and thrive in life, and y'all are trying to look for failures.
He's white.
You know?
One more time.
I said Emmanuel Quickly, Tyrese Maxey, De'Aaron Fox, Jamal Murray, SGA.
Devin.
You know, Devin was 14.
That's crazy.
You know, I mean, that's the talent that Cal and Arkansas fans are about to feel this, bro. And Kentucky fans are about to miss this. They're going to rue the day.
Oh, I can't wait till he goes up in there.
I mean, you're going to have a bunch of – you're gonna
I'll go, be watching that one.
You went from having NBA that. Talent to Australia NBL talent. And you're going to think that it's going to equate to the same production.
John L. going to have Fetty in there.
Yeah, he is. Against that team? Oh, I can't wait. Oh, I just – it is the juiciest storyline of college basketball. Just the,
is it? Oh, well, Danny. Well, the juice – no, I guess, yeah, juiciest, you're probably right.
Cal
Danny is the number one storyline
like,
going for
like,
three.
Who's going to do
but
better?
Then is Cal Arkansas versus Kentucky. Is,
yeah.
I would say right the right
but,
there.
But, you know, as far as the people that are trying
that's
to tweet
fun.
You and chirp you and
yeah,
me
well,
about –
yeah, they just want – we're all part of holding
that's,
you
that's
accountable.
What, that's miserable.
This is the accountability group around here.
I'm talking about current NBA
guys. You want to play, stop the show, spend 5 minutes.
If you are in the league.
When I call the Florida Panthers, the Carolina Panthers.
Correct.
We're going to stop and hold you accountable when you say every single Kentucky guard has come through here. Now they're all averaging 20 points.
All right, let me amend it. If you are in the league right now and you play to Kentucky, you're a monster.
Thank you, listeners.
How about that?
I like the way we got you triggered today about Angel.
If you are in the league right now,
Shepherd.
I'm not triggered about Angel.
Yes, you are.
Smoking layups. I don't care about the foul. Whatever. I'm talking about the.
No, it's crazy. You come in here, you're not even worried about what she said in the press conference. You worry about she shot 30%. It's just weird.
Exactly.
That's trigger.
No.
That's trigger behavior.
It's like
you don't like her.
And me. That's how I feel about Angel Reese right now.
No, that's me and Calkins,
and me.
Not you and Angel. Angel don't know you.
Oh, well, she will.
You and me, you got to know you.
No, I mean, again, we got to. I'll work her out. I'll get underneath the rim. I'll pass
You'll
the ball
do
to
what?
Her. We'll do the drills.
She don't need your help, fool. Sky's going to be just fine. They need to start calling these fouls on them. What they're doing to her and Cardoso is wrong.
Well, yeah.
But she got to rein it in, these press conferences. You're just giving these folks more content and material.
Yeah, she definitely needs to.
But somebody compared it to Bird and Magic, the rivalry that went from college to the pros. And what's wrong with that?
Well,
what's wrong
both of those players were good. That's where the analogy.
You a fool.
That's where
we're
the
about to break the double-double record. We will shoot 20%. But we're going to break this WNBA double-double record. I bet you that. Every time you look up, she's got one.
You know, nobody even remembers when Russell Westbrook won MVP with the triple-double because he
You clearly want to work for Reed Shepard.
No.
I want to do PR for Angel Reese because all we got to do is clean up some of these answers and we'll get our respect.
Remember how we'd say the Russell Westbrook rebounds were fake because everybody moved out of the way for him to get them. Remember that? We'd come in here and we'd say that. And
Angel, you would say that.
Angel's rebounds are fake because she's just throwing it off the rim and catching it to herself.
You lost your mind. She's always been a rebounding phenom.
Yeah. But that there again.
She's like the male Durin. Jalen Durin.
I think that's a better. We could start there.
But she's got a better 15-footer than Jalen Durin.
Oh, that's absolutely absurd. Come on.
We got some hot women's basketball takes today. But we know you're triggered on two things. Angel Reese. And Reed Shepard.
Yeah, I think
Reed Shepard criticism or questions or concerns.
Now, again, people are going to try.
And they can be valid.
People are going to try to divide us. People are going to try to say that those takes are going to break down our racial lines.
It does
but I'm
feel
just telling you,
like this glass right here that's coming
correlation,
right down the center.
Not causation.
I mean, you just put him up there with every black Kentucky guard like he just believed. It was kind of amazing.
Better than Ashton Hagans, let's be clear.
How fast you put him up there with every black Kentucky guard. But then,
you
admit
point.
There's never been a white one.
There has never been a white one, and there's a reason for that because Cal has a very high standard of excellence for the players that he plays at those positions. So that one actually broke through. He went out and he got Kyle Wiltshire from Gonzaga, who wasn't necessarily a guard, but you know was a you know a ball handler, a bigger white guy, and he could not crack the rotation because he wasn't it. He wasn't like that.
I can't believe that you're not now. I mean, Tyler Hero is a successful white guard.
Oh, that's true. He had the one.
I can't believe you're not naming him now.
And I forgot about him.
He's not great defensively, but he is absolutely a successful white guard out of
Kentucky. I forgot about him.
I didn't want to give you any ammo on that. But
I regret the error.
He's not the – Reed Shepard wouldn't be the first.
That's terrible on my part.
Yeah. Again, you forget your white people every day.
I don't think I could even check the box of white, not Hispanic, when I fill out a form now if I forget Tyler Hero.
One of y'all's brothers.
This is devastating news for me that I did that. I had the whole list in front of me, too. I don't know how I skipped over Hero. But, yeah, I mean, there's only
this
been.
This would be the first.
There's been one, and it was Hero. So that's the bar we're talking about. And Hero's been to an NBA Finals. NBA Finals.
But he's not 6'2".
Well, he's not that much bigger, is he?
6'5".
Okay, but he's
can play the three.
Okay, but it's kind of inverted, right? He's not nearly as thick as Reed is.
No, yeah. And I would,
Reed's got some.
There are times where they target Hero defensively.
100%.
I'm just saying, he's 6'5", bro. He's athletic too.
Yeah, listen.
Just calm down. I did not know we would have you so fired up today.
No, I don't think the Grizz will get him. I don't. I just think he'll be a good player. I'm high on him. Like the problem with this draft too is that I don't know most of the good players. They don't play in America. You know, like I've never seen Reese Ache.
Well,
I've never seen Saar. You know, there's so many like the Topic guy, Topic.
Well, he's hurt.
Yeah, but he was a top 10 guy before the hurt for the injury. I have never seen him play. I mean, how can anybody have any opinions about this draft when they haven't seen 30% of the projected top 10 play, you know, at the very least?
Yeah.
So I don't know, but I do think Reed has a skill set that translates. We see. I mean, if you just look at his month of March, bro, let's go from his 3-point percentage. We'll start.
You already did.
We'll go 50, 40, 70, 50. You know, in SEC play, you know, he shot 67% from three. I mean, this, and he's taking threes. He's 4-7, 2-4, 2-5, 7-10. Are you serious? Are you serious? That translates, you know, and he's a playmaker. So, yeah. I don't lose sleep like J. Cole.
Yeah, you got a straight man crush on dude.
I just believe in him as a player. You know what I'm saying? So, he's got the bona fides. Anyway, yeah, I don't think he's going to be there at 9, just to bottom line this.
That, no way.
If he is. I'm also, look, Dalton Connect. Again, I'm not trying to do the white player thing, all right? This is not a bit.
What?
But I'm good with that as well, you know?
Don't jump off now. You love white players.
My top three in order. Klingon, Connect, Shepard. That would be, you know, or excuse me, Klingon, Shepard, Connect would be my order there.
Where's Edie?
Edie's, again... Four. It's a little dicey.
You don't even include him?
Well, he's half. I mean, y'all always give me problems with that. So I don't know what to do anymore. My brain is kind of broken in that way. Because I can't have Mahomes, so, you know.
Ain't no way.
Now you want to give me Edie. See, that's what you do. When it's convenient for
you. If I were you, I'd take him.
When it's convenient for you. No, I think Edie will be good. I think he'll be a good player, but I just think his ceiling is pretty low. I think his floor is high and his ceiling's low. So it's deep. Like what, do you see him being like some, you know, dominant all-star type center?
I don't even know if he's a starter in this league.
He
in
may
fact,
not be.
I would go that he 49%. He's 49%. He's a starter. 51%. He's not.
Right. Which at 9 is not terrible. I mean,
I still don't think he should go that high.
But I just don't like. I don't think he's got the. I know he doesn't have. He has no offense outside of the paint.
Well, in the combine, he impressed him with the three, but it was all a mirage. He's not going to do that in games.
Well, his release is too slow. He's getting that pack. Now, he's 7'4", and so I guess...
If you're going to feature a center offensively like a Joel Embiid, you imagine how much usage they have to have, and they have to be so versatile. Joel Embiid is from the basket on out to the three-point line.
Exactly.
NBA teams do not feature centers on offense. You don't do that now in this guard-driven, fast-paced league.
And so you probably wouldn't take that guy at 9.
Edie is a half-court guy that can work on a second unit.
Very much so.
But I don't think he's nearly going to be as engaged defensively.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at MyBob's.com to play now.